السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما أتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع نعليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى.
Respected listeners, the ayat karima which I have recited before you are the opening verses of Surah Taha, which is a chapter of the 16 juz of the Quran. Amongst the specialities of the surah is that this surah and Surah Yasin was recited by Almighty Allah Himself prior to the creation of the skies and the earth many years ago. The angels, on hearing the recitation of Surah Taha and Yasin, mentioned that fortunate is that nation on whom this Quran will be revealed, and fortunate are those hearts that will preserve this Quran, and without doubt, blessed are those tongues who would be blessed with the recitation of these surahs. The surah was revealed in Mecca, consisting of 135 ayat and 8 rukus. Almighty Allah commences with the surah by saying Taha. Before I continue, another name for Surah Taha is Kaleem, which has been mentioned by Imam Sakhawi rahmatullah alayh. And the reason of mentioning it as Kaleem is very clear. Kaleemullah, we know, was Musa alayhi salatu was salam. And this surah greatly deals and discusses the incident and the episode of Musa alayhi salatu was salam, which was the reason for me choosing this surah for discussion. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commences this chapter and the surah by saying Taha, which is from amongst the huruf and muqatta'at, Allahu a'lamu bi muradihi, the meaning of which is known only to Allah. However, some mufassirin have mentioned that Taha and Yasin are from amongst the many names of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. O Nabi of Allah, we have not revealed the Quran to burden you. Shaqa'un, it is derived from the word shaqa'un, which means ta'ab and tiredness. We have not revealed the Quran to distress you, to burden you. We find in the initial stages when the Quran was revealed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his sahaba used to devote the entire night to the recitation of the Quran. Some of the kuffar passed an evil remark and said, it looks like since this book has been revealed, in other words the Quran, on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no more peace for him, there is no more rest for him. Allah revealed these verses, consoling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was after the revelation of this verse that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had divided his night. A portion of the night was for sleep and a portion of the night was for tilawat. But this itself can explain to us that the Nabi of Allah, despite being masoom, protected from every sin, then too he had devoted himself to the Quran so much that Allah had to actually console him not to exert himself. Contrary to the Nabi of Allah is our condition, and it is the complaint of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وقال الرسول يا رب إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. وقال الرسول يا رب إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. Oh my Lord, my nation has deserted the Quran. The Mufassirin unanimously agree that this refers to the Kuffar. However, Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says, وَلِهِجْرَانِ الْقُرْآنِ سُوَرٌ, that neglecting the Quran can be understood in a broader perspective. And then he explains and highlights few manners via which one neglects the Quran and one will be guilty of deserting the Quran. Number one, he says, عَدَمُ الْإِسْتِمَاعِ إِلَى الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ هِجْرَانِهِ, not to take out time to listen to the Quran being recited is also a form of neglecting the Quran and is also deserting the Quran. Today, respected listeners, we have time to listen to everything. We can listen to our children reading their homework or whatever else it is. Unfortunately, if we don't have time for anything, it is to listen to the Book of Allah. So Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says, not to take out time to listen to the Book of Allah is deserting the Quran. تَرْكُ تَفَهُمِهِ وَتَدَبُّرِهِ مِنْ هِجْرَانِهِ. Not to devote oneself to the understanding of the Quran, or not to attend lessons where the Quran is being explained. Not to make an effort to understand the injunctions of the Quran, of course under the supervision of the learned scholars of Islam, is also neglecting the Quran, is also deserting the Quran. تَرْكُ تَفَهُمِهِ وَتَدَبُّرِهِ مِنْ هِجْرَانِهِ. تَرْكُ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَتَرْكُ تَصْدِيقِهِ مِنْ هِجْرَانِهِ. Not to bring iman on the Quran. Allahu Akbar, there is one hadith in Tirmizi Sharif, wherein Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا آمَنَ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنِ اسْتَحَلَّ مَحَارِمَ. That person has not brought iman on the Quran, who regards the unlawful things of the Quran as lawful. تَرْكُ تَصْدِيقِهِ. Not to have reliance and not to have trust on the promises of the Quran. Not to fear the warnings of the Quran. Not to have reliance on the promises of the Quran is also deserting the Quran. تَرْكُ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَتَرْكُ تَصْدِيقِهِ مِنْ هِجْرَانِهِ. Then he writes, تَرْكُ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ وَامْتِثَالُ أَوَامِرِهِ وَاجْتِنَابُ زَوَاجِرِهِ مِنْ هِجْرَانِهِ. Not to live a life according to the injunctions of the Quran, and not to protect oneself from the unlawful and the forbidden things of the Quran is also deserting the Quran. Respected listeners, if we ponder over these few points which Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has highlighted, then we will come to this conclusion that wallah, we are not guilty of one of the few, but wallah, we are guilty of every point that he has highlighted. And this the fifth and the most important point that he discusses, وَالْعُدُولُ عَنْهُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ شَعْرٍ أَوْ غِنَاءٍ أَوْ لَهْوٍ أَوْ كَلَامٍ أَوْ طَرِيقَةٍ مَأْخُوذَةٍ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ مِنْ هِجْرَانِهِ. To substitute the Quran with any other literature, whether music, غِنَاءٍ أَوْ لَهْوٍ أَوْ شَعْرٍ أَوْ poetry or anything else for that matter, أو طريقة مأخوذة, or to live a life which is based on the principles of any book other than the Quran is also deserting the Quran. When the child comes home and he says, Daddy, the homework is too much, I cannot combine between my Islamic studies and my secular studies, the school work is too much, so immediately our reaction is, okay, Dikra, leave madrasa and carry on with school. We are replacing the word of Allah for that English literature, for secular education. Clearly, we are explaining to that child that circular education is of prime importance. Remember, respected listeners, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Allah will honor and revere nations through this book. And it is via this very same book that Allah will dishonor and disgrace nations. مَنْ جَعَلَهُ أَمَامَهُ قَادَهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever will keep this Quran in front of them, this Quran will guide them to Jannat. وَمَنْ جَعَلَهُ خَلْفَ ظَهْرِهِ. And whoever will keep this Quran behind his back, ساقه إلى النار, this very same Quran will drive him towards Jahannam. So Almighty Allah reveals these verses, consoling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. O Nabi of Allah, we have not revealed the Quran to burden you, but instead, إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَن يَخْشَى. But only as a reminder for those who fear Allah, for those who are not going to fear Allah. وَلَيَزِيدَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا فَلَا تَأْسَ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. The more revelation will come, the further they will go into kufr. And Almighty Allah highlights what were the contributing factors to them being deprived from the Quran. Their hearts were deprived totally of the Quran to such an extent that Allah mentions, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. Even if we send down the angels from the skies and the dead man stands up before them, Jannat and Jahannam is manifest before them, they will not bring iman. Instead they will say, لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا. Someone has made black magic on us, someone has made jadu on us. We are looking at paradise, but it is not paradise. So there is jadu on our eyes instead of accepting it. Allah mentions, why were they deprived of practicing on the Quran? مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ. Whenever any advice came unto them from their Lord, استمعوه. They heard the Quran. وهم يلعبون while playing without attention, without devotion. لاهية قلوبهم. Their hearts were unmindful. It was غافل. Respected listeners, perhaps we are not guilty of this wrong as they were, but without doubt, to a certain extent, we are guilty. By way of example, the Quran cassette is being played. At the same time, someone is on the phone, someone is ringing the bell, someone is eating, someone is laughing. And at the same time, those verses of the Quran that are being recited, Allah is describing the severe punishment of Jahannam. Can we imagine what disrespect aren't we showing to the Quran? And it is because of this disrespect, wallah, we are being deprived of the noor of the Quran and the barakat and the light of the Quran. May Allah give us the tawfiq and the ability to respect the Quran and to give it its full devotion. Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu used to say, لو أني أكون كما أكون في حال من أحوال الثلاثة لكنت من أهل الجنة وما شككت في ذلك. If I can constantly remain in the condition that I am on three occasions in my life, then I can assure my entrance into Jannah without a shadow of doubt. حين أقرأ القرآن وحين أسمعه يقرأ. The devotion I offer to the Quran when I recite it or it's been recited. If I can remain in that condition perpetually and continuously, then I can assure my own Jannah. وَإِذَا شَهِدْتُ خُطْبَةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And when I listen to the discourses of Nabi alayhi salam, the devotion with which I sit, and likewise when I attend any janaza, any funeral, وَمَا حَدَّثْتُ نَفْسِي سِوَى مَا هُوَ مَفْعُولٌ بِهَا وَمَا هِيَ صَائِرَةٌ إِلَيْهِ. Whenever I look at the deceased and the dead man in the janaza, I tell myself, look properly and look carefully. Whatever you are watching is going to be done to you. So ponder and contemplate and give it a close eye and watch everything and observe everything, because everything is going to be repeated with you. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that this Quran is a form of reminder and a guide for those that fear Almighty Allah. Furthermore, Allah says, تَنزِيلًا مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى. This Quran is a revelation from Allah. Who is Allah? خلق الأرض. Who has created the earth? والسماوات العلا. And he has created the high heavens, the skies, which Almighty Allah repeatedly invites us in the Quran to look at and ponder, which reflects the greatness and the grandeur and the might and the majesty of Allah. أَلَمْ تَرَوْا كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا. Don't you see how I have created the skies and the earth? Look at the sun and the moon that I have placed. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا. Allah says the light that is in the sun or in the moon, it's not zati, it's not by its own, but it is me who has placed the light and the brightness in the sun, and it is through my order that it brightens the entire dunya, and it is through my order that it comes for a period of time and then nightfall comes over. Allah says, if Almighty Allah decides, in ja'alallahu alaykum al-layla sarmadan ila yawm al-qiyamah, if Allah makes the night over you perpetual, who will bring day to you? And if Allah makes the day over you perpetual, everlasting, inexhaustible, who will bring night to you? وَمِن رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا. But it is the kindness of your Lord that He brings night and He brings day. He changes it. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. Sometimes the nights are long, sometimes the days are long. It is Almighty Allah that has created. كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Everything is floating in the orbit for which Allah has created it. لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَاللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. So Allah invites us to ponder and to recognize and to contemplate over the creation of Allah. And then Allah mentions, وَكَأَيِّن مِّنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. There are many of the signs of Almighty Allah which man passes by daily, but he ignores. He looks at the skies, but he doesn't think of Allah. He looks at the earth, but he doesn't think of Allah. Never mind that, Allah says, look at yourself and think of Allah. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And this has been referred to as a great form of dhikr and remembrance of Allah, because Allah explains His qudrat via the changes in nature. Furthermore, Almighty Allah explains Himself, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. Who is Allah? Allah is the most beneficent, the most merciful. Ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arshi istawa, who settled on the throne. Now we know this is from amongst the mutashabihat. The settling of Allah on the throne is from amongst the mutashabihat, the reality of which has not been revealed to us. But as we know, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, al-istiwa'u haqqun, wa kayfiyyatuhu majhulun, wal-imanu bihi wajibun, was-su'alu anhu haramun. The settling of Allah on his throne is a reality, because this has been confirmed via nass qat'i, and that is Quran. So we accept it and we believe in it. Kama yaliqu bi sha'nihi, as it befits the majesty of Allah. Al-istiwa'u haqqun wa kayfiyyatuhu majhulun. How Allah has settled on his throne has not been revealed to us. Wal-imanu bihi wajibun. To bring iman on this and to believe on this is compulsory. Was-su'alu anhu haramun. And to question it is totally unlawful and forbidden. So this is the principle we will apply with regards to istiwa'u al-arsh, that is the settling of Allah on the throne, or any other thing for that matter which is from amongst the mutashabihat. We believe it as it befits the majesty of Almighty Allah. We accept it without questioning it. Now Almighty Allah explains how vast His kingdom is. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. To Allah belongs everything what is in the skies, in the heavens, in the earth, and whatever is between the skies and the earth. وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى, and that which is beneath the soil and under the soil. ثَرَى actually refers to that wet soil which is above the water beneath the earth. If a person is digging for a borehole and he's trying to get to water, then just above the water, the soil that is there would naturally be moist because it's in contact with water. Allah says, from beneath the earth, right to the skies, right to the throne, whatever is between the skies and the earth, everything belongs to Allah, is in the knowledge of Allah, is in the kingdom of Almighty Allah. His knowledge is complete. His power is complete. The villager in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains it so beautifully, and he says, إِنَّ الْبَعْرَ لَيَدُلُّ عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ وَإِنَّ آثَارَ الْأَقْدَامِ لَتَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَسِيرِ فَالسَّمَاءُ ذَاتِ الْأَبْرَاجِ وَالْأَرْضُ ذَاتِ الْفِجَاجِ وَالْبِحَارُ ذَاتِ الْأَمْوَاجِ. Ala yadullu dhalika ala al-latif al-khabir. O insan, ponder. The droppings of a cow indicate the passing of a cow or a camel. The footsteps of man indicate the passing of a man. Fas-sama'u dhat al-abraj. Look at the sky above you, which Allah invites you to look at. Farji'u al-basara karratayn. Not once or twice, but repeatedly. Yanqalib ilayka al-basaru khasi'an wa huwa hasir. Your gaze will return to you defeated. Why? Because our creation is faultless, flawless, above criticism. So Almighty Allah gives us an open challenge. Allah says, this villager says, when the droppings of a camel indicate the passing of a camel, and the footsteps of insan indicate the passing of insan, then, oh foolish man, doesn't the creation of the skies and the earth also indicate the being and the presence of some deity and some ism, and that is none other than Allah? Bala wa ana ala dhalikum min ash-shahideen. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma laka alhamdu mil as-samawati wal-ardi wa mil ama shayta min shay'in ba'du. Oh Allah, to you belongs the praise, equivalent to the skies and the earth, and whatever is between the skies and the earth. اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك. Oh Allah, for you is eternal praises as you are eternal. Further Allah says, وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you speak aloud or you speak softly, verily Almighty Allah knows that which you speak aloud, and likewise Allah knows that which is concealed and that is which is a secret. In other words, when you speak to someone and you are heard which is loud, which you and I can hear, naturally Allah knows that. And then Allah knows what is sirrun. Sirrun is the secret that is you conceal in your heart and you don't reveal to anyone, that is also in the knowledge of Allah. Akhfa is ismet tafzeel, something that is more hidden than sir. That the mufassirin have written, the thought which is not present in your mind and your heart, the thought that will enter your mind and your heart in time to come, the entire creation, what every person is thinking at this moment is in the knowledge of Allah. What every person will think in 2 days to come, or 1 year or 2 years, is in the knowledge of Almighty Allah. Many a times we are daydreaming, we are thinking of so many things. 10 minutes later, if someone asks you what you were thinking, we cannot recall ourselves. All those thoughts which we cannot recall, which we were thinking, is in the knowledge of Allah. Subhanallah. Wasi'a ilmuhu kulla shay. His knowledge encompasses everything. As-sirru indahu alaniya.
السر عنده علانية والغيب عنده شهادة. The secret is manifest. The unknown is known to him. There's nothing that is hidden from Allah. So who he is? Allah la ilaha illa hu. That is one Allah. No deity, no power, no ism, no strength, no might other than him. له الأسماء الحسنى. Almighty Allah has many, many names. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes used to say Allah, sometimes he used to say Rahman. So the kuffar passed the remark and they said that this Nabi prohibits us from worshipping many idols, but he is also worshipping two gods. Sometimes he says Allah, sometimes he says Rahman. So that means he also worships more than one god. Allah revealed the verse, قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ ادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ قُلْ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ ادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whether you say Allah or you say Rahman, these are the beautiful names of Allah. Al-Ghaffar, Al-Qahhar, Al-Wahhab, Al-Razzaq, Al-Qabid, Al-Basit, Al-Rafi, Al-Mu'izz, Al-Mudhil, Al-Sami', Al-Basir, مَا عَلِمْنَا مِنْهُ وَمَا لَمْ نَعْلَمْ. These are the beautiful names of Almighty Allah. لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. All these names are of Almighty Allah. But the kuffar dislike the name of Rahman, of Almighty Allah. That is why Allah mentions in the Quran, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَانِ. When it was told to them, prostrate to Rahman, they said, who is Rahman? We don't know who is Rahman. And Allah loves this name of his. Allah commences the Quran with describing himself with these qualities amongst his many other qualities. Allah says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most kind and the most merciful, which is the introduction of Almighty Allah and is the praises of Allah at one given moment. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one jamaat out in the path of Allah. This hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. The Amir of that Jamaat, whenever he used to lead the people in Salah, he used to read Surah Fatiha. When these people returned, they narrated this to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَلُوهُ لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ يَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ. Asked him, why did he read, not Surah Fatiha, Surah Ikhlas. Ask him, why did he read Surah Ikhlas in every rak'at of the Salah? So the Sahabi answered, Ya Rasulullah, لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ. Because Surah Ikhlas describes the qualities and the attributes of my Allah. And I love my Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, حُبُّكَ إِيَّاهَا أَدَخَلَكَ الْجَنَّةُ كَمَا قَالَ. Your love for Surah Ikhlas is sufficient for your entrance into Jannah and salvation from eternal doom and destruction. Now Almighty Allah commences the incident, the episode, the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Look at the manner and the usloob and the andaz via which Allah commences. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. And O Mukhatab, and O my brother, and O my listener, and O my sister, has the story of Musa reached you? Have you been informed of Moses? Do you know who is Musa Kalimullah? Do you know who is Moses? Most definitely you do not know. So listen very attentively. It is your Lord narrating to you. I am only conveying the message of Allah. Otherwise it is Allah himself directly addressing every Muslim, male and female. What does Allah say regarding Musa alayhi salam? إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا لَعَلِّي آتِيكُمْ مِنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدًى. Allah draws our attention to that moment when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was returning from Madian after he stayed in the company of his father-in-law Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam for 10 years, which was Ab'adul Ajalain. He returns with his wife, returning back to his country, that is Egypt, after the duration of 10 years. With him is his wife. The moment that these ayat-e kareema, Allah draws our attention to that moment of the journey while he is returning. His wife was expecting, and not only expecting, Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullah Ali says, she was in the final stages of her pregnancy, and as we'll discuss further, on journey also she experiences labor pain. Can we imagine? Allahu Akbar. So it is Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with his wife, who is in her final stages of pregnancy. It is extremely dark. It is extremely cold. Of course, it's the night, so it's dark and it is extremely cold. He doesn't have access to fire via which he can warm himself. And the point of discussion which has been highlighted here is via which everything takes shape, this plan of Allah, he loses his sense of direction. His wife is on the verge of giving birth. Our mothers and sisters will appreciate it. Which woman wants to give birth in a remote place where there's no one to attend to her, there's no food, there's no access to fire? One has lost his direction in between two places, between Madian and Egypt. Allahu Akbar. This is the plan of Allah, and this is how Almighty Allah tests his servants. Nabi alayhi salam says, Ashaddu an-nasi bala'an al-anbiya, thumma al-amthalu fal-amthal. The people that will be tested by Allah the most are the prophets. Next in line will be those that will imitate and emulate and resemble the prophets. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's wife, who is the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, she is experiencing childbirth. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is feeling cold. He has lost the sense of direction. Ya Allah, what should be done? Allah draws our attention to these moments and he's returning back to his place. If a person is coming home after many years, he doesn't want to have any problem with regards his regarding to his flight or his visa. He wants to make sure that everything is on time. Why he's anticipating his arrival, he's anticipating and anxiously looking forward to returning back to his place. The people there are awaiting his arrival. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returning after 10 years. And look at the difficulties and the hardships and the adverse conditions that are coming his way. Anyway, what Almighty Allah discusses here, idra'a nara, suddenly, to his surprise, he spots a fire in a distance. So he tells his wife, فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا, O my wife, wait here for me. إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا أَيْ أَبْصَرْتُ نَارًا, I can see fire there. Let me gather some wood, some grass. Perhaps I will go there, get some flames of fire. And naturally, when there's fire there, that means there is someone there. So that can answer two of our problems. We can kill two birds with one stone. Get fire for ourselves also. And at the same time, whoever will be there will ask those people regarding our direction. And we will know how to, what direction we should take from here. So that will ease in our direction also. And at the same time, it will give us access to fire. We can comfort ourselves. We can get a bit warm, which will make childbirth easy for you at the same time. Musa alayhi salam is planning according to his understanding. But at the same time, the plan of Allah is taking shape. The plan of Allah is something else. Makaru makra wa makarna makra wa hum la yashurun. فَانْذُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ مَكْرِهِمْ أَنَّا دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ وَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. They plotted against Saleh. Allah says, our plan was taking shape. فَانْذُرْ, look what was the end result of our plan and our scheme. أَنَّا دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ, we destroyed them. Nevertheless, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam follows the fire. As he approaches the fire withdraws and pulls back. Musa alayhi salam is taken by surprise. And more surprising to that, he is astonished, he is perplexed, he is confused. Fire moving back, suddenly an unseen voice, Inni ana rabbuk, Inni ana rabbuk, O Musa, I am your Lord. There is pin drop silence. O my Lord, I can hear you, I cannot see you. Are you directly speaking to me or via the medium of any angel? O Musa, I am directly speaking to you. O Allah, where are you? I can hear you, I can't see you. Musa, I'm on your right, your left, in front, behind, I'm closer to you than yourself. Allahu Akbar. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is perplexed. He is astonished. Fakhla'na alayk. O Musa, remove your shoes. I am your Lord speaking to you. Musa alayhi salam comes with the intention of fetching fire to assist his wife. Get the sense of direction. What does Allah plan and what is in the knowledge of Allah? O Musa, I am your Lord. Can we imagine the moments of communication between Musa and Allah? Moments to be cherished by Musa lifelong. Such honorable moments that Allah gives a place in the Quran. A person meets with his beloved in seclusion. He cherishes those moments. Musa meets with Khaliqul Kainat. Musa meets with the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No veil between Musa and Allah. No angel speaking. Allah speaking. Musa listening. Allahu Akbar. Let's go ahead and see what does Allah want to tell Musa. فَخْلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ. O Musa, remove your shoes. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. The difficulties that were mounting and coming upon Musa, now see the end result of this. إِذَا اشْتَدَّتْ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. The poet says, when difficulties come, then remember ease to come. Difficulties were coming on Musa. Yeah, via these difficulties, it was paving the way to prophethood. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ يَجْتَبِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ الله أعلم حيث يجعل رسالته. Finally Allah says, O Musa, you are in the blessed land of Tuwa. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ Tuwa. You are in the blessed land of Tuwa, and I am your Lord. Allahu Akbar. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ. And I have chosen you, I have accepted you. You are my beloved, O Musa. This mountain which Allah describes as the blessed mountain of Tuwa is situated in Egypt, which is approximately 500 kilometers from Cairo. With the grace of Almighty Allah, I had the opportunity of visiting this blessed mountain. The journey between Cairo to this mountain is very dry and it is totally desert. When we got there, very briefly, I will explain what our experience was. With reference to the guide, what he mentioned to us, to the zenith of the mountain where this discussion took place between Musa and Allah, total seclusion between Musa and Allah is approximately 2,750 steps to the zenith of the mountain. We managed to climb this mountain on camelback for 3 consecutive hours. Finally, when we got to the top of this mountain, there was a very heavy downpour and it was raining, which the local people mentioned to us, they never see rain like that. Only after 3 years was it raining like this. We took shelter in one place. Of course, it was pouring, and the closest place was to come down 3 hours, which was totally impossible. So there was a little shack and there was a little shop on the mountain. We took shelter there, but because of the heavy rain, we had to even leave there. And there was a hideout in the mountain, which was a base of Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, as this guide mentioned to us. They took us there, gave us shelter. In fact, they were very hospitable. They even offered us tea. We were so close to the exact point where this communication taking place between Allah and Musa that it was another 10-minute walk from where we were on the zenith of the mountain to that point, to the height of the mountain. But because of the rain, the guide did not advise us to further our journey. So we stopped there, but as he explained to us, this entire mountain was the blessed mountain.